Again, there is a lot to be done in terms of education, social vocation, which is being done domestically and world over. So, for example, also another very innovative idea to tune the minds of young people to innovative thinking, to being more inclusive, is the venture of Dabang Girl. Dabang, which we know, Dabang, we're familiar with the movie also. Dabang means fearless. So there is this social enterprise, Dabang Girl, where, instead of typically in India, people think of men as superheroes. But Dabang Girl is a series of comics and comic video series, which encourages women to look for the heroes among girls, and girls to look for the heroes among girls, and for men to look for heroes in the girls among them. So it is creating gender, trying to create a mindset of gender equality, inclusivity, with a very, very novel idea of this Dabang comic series. So now you have a lot of startups which reduce waste, recycle, repurpose waste. So of course, Karma is a Stockholm-based startup. Likewise, you have Admin Bin, which is where they ensure that there are enough waste bins placed all over the vicinity in which they are servicing. And not only that, they also take on the task of managing and having these bins cleaned. So when in terms of waste management, there is a lot which is being done and helping planet, helping people as well, bringing about employment. Likewise, there is Brown Living. So again, Brown Living is helping the planet by being a platform which is primarily only selling products based on, which are sustainable products, created sustainably, packaged sustainably. And from this website, if someone purchases, then the product reaches you in a sustainable manner without adding to the carbon footprint. Also, from the profits, they plant a lot of trees. So Brown Living is contributing positively in terms of helping the planet, reducing your carbon wastage, carbon footprint. In this area, there are a lot of enterprises which have won a lot of awards, which have managed to get a buy-in from a lot of international entities, as we saw in some of the examples that we saw in this chapter, that funding clearly helped. Getting funding from large organizations, international organizations, really clearly helped in the scalability of these ventures and in making these ventures known so that others can be inspired by them, and a lot more awareness is created about these enterprises, so that others can buy and others can be inspired, others can also conduct similar enterprises and give life to their innovative ideas. So likewise, there is the venture Thushan. Now, when we think about parties, children's parties, we're having friends get together at our place. One of the things that we always think of is, paper plates. We are not going to use our regular, cutlery and then sit and wash it and have a maid, and especially when you're having large gatherings. So a lot of money is spent on disposable cutlery, disposable plates, disposable cutlery, disposable your paper napkins, all of that. And what happens to them? They get stuffed in bin bags and then thrown out for they get stuffed in bin bags and then, go into landfills, and there is so much waste, you can go to any site, your, 5-minute, 10-minute delivery ones, and buy these and very quickly. And a lot of people, even people who can afford to, have so much help and the most expensive china in the world and cutlery, choose to use disposable because it's just more convenient. But with that convenience is coming huge amount of excess waste which is going into landfills. So Thushan is the answer to a healthy, planet-friendly answer to your disposable cutleries, its plates, etc. And they make their disposable cutlery, etc. from rice bran, from wheat bran, from barley bran. So from healthy products. Also, with cutleries, we know that they are, with the traditional disposable cutleries, we know that they are pretty much single use. Once we have used the plates, once we have used the plastic spoons, the paper plates, plastic spoons, all of that, we don't reuse them. So here, that adds to the element of that, every time the purchase is happening a lot more frequently. Now here, in the case of the Thushan products, not only are they made in a healthy, biodegradable manner, I mean, they're practically the, components with which they are made, barley, rice, wheat, they're practically not just biodegradable, but edible, as possibly edible as well. But leaving aside the edible element, if they are disposed of, then they are very easily biodegradable. So it's a very efficient answer to your single-use plastic, which is, going into landfills and adding to pollution and adding to the carbon footprint. And because of this idea, the way it has rolled out, the way it has been successful, it has created this positive impact on the environment, putting the planet before the people. It has got buy-in from a lot of organizations, a lot of entities which can support it, both in terms of research, in terms of funding, in terms of other hand-holding to scale up. These include IIT Kanpur, these include the Government of India, the Kerala Agricultural Institute, various other research institutes. So once again, you are seeing that good ideas, even if they are small startups, you can be an absolute unknown person, but you have a good novel idea, you have a small startup, you start up, and then if you have a good business model, a good strategy, then you chances are that your social impact will get recognized and you will get support from funding, for funding, for other forms of mentorship and handholding. Even if you try to connect these enterprises to your immediate vicinity, haven't we seen, for example, what Karma is trying to achieve in terms of reducing food waste, by getting cafes to sell at subsidized, reduced prices to consumers? Haven't we seen our local bakeries, if you think of, if you're living in Mumbai or around, if you think of local bakeries, where in the evening you have a 1+1 or the products are discounted, because they want to have fresh product the next day. They are going to be throwing this food. They are not going to be, putting up stale food on their shelves. So it is better that instead of wasting this, might as well use this food, sell it at a subsidized rate, have deals and offers so that there is benefit to all. Now, if this could instead then be maybe donated to, not just sold, some entities choose to donate this food to, people in need. There are these organizations which in the evening round up and collect this food from cafes, restaurants, etc., to grocery stores and all, so that this can be go towards immediate food requirements, food security requirements of the underprivileged. So there are so many ways in which this enterprise is already unfolding around us. We don't have to go think of another country. If we just look in our immediate ecosystem, we have so many of these ways in which food waste is being reduced, in which disadvantaged sections are being, are receiving from the excess which is there, which would have otherwise been wasted. There are a lot of organizations which tie up with large hotels, you know, when we have weddings and various large functions, etc. We know how much excess food is there and, you know, how much wastage happens. And there are organizations which in a quality, you know, in a qualitative way, so that you're not, it's not spoiled food, it's not food which is half eaten, etc. But excess food, which is, quality tested, there are a lot of tie-ups where organizations source this and, channel this excess food towards those who are deprived. So there is a lot which is being done at an informal level also, but doing it at an organizational level, at an enterprise level, can of course create a much larger impact, which can create a far more scalable operation to help the underprivileged communities. So here it was started in 2015. And as with a lot of the ideas that we have seen, which have attracted investor interest, good ideas which have attracted investor interest, this is an idea which has, attracted a very significant funding, close to $17 million. So you see how when I'm talking about informal initiatives in our ecosystem where food is being unsold, food is being channeled, to people in need. If you create an enterprise, if you have, indulge in innovation and come up with an innovative idea and a social enterprise to make an impact for the people, then it can be far more scalable over just being an informal initiative, which is maybe just servicing a very small community of people, or does not have a scalable potential. So definitely doing it at an enterprise level can get you appreciation, can get you mentorship, can get you patrons who will help you expand beyond, cities, beyond states, to other countries also. So these are simple. When you look at it, there is so much simplicity in this idea that unsold food, yes, make the most of it instead of wasting it, sell it at discounted rates, channel it to the underprivileged. Come to think of it, it's such a simple idea. But to effect it at such a large scale, someone had to take the initiative. Social entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in general are risk takers. They are the first movers, and a lot of people may be thinking of, this could be done. They are the ones who go and do it. So they take action versus just thinking about something. That action, of course, involves a lot of effort, a lot of discomfort, lot of homework from the point of view of research, convincing people, convincing beneficiaries. Now, think of this when people would have, when the staff of employees of Karma would go and approach these cafes. A lot of them would have faced rejection initially in terms of their ideas, policies, etc. Or disinclination. So you have to combat all of those things. Lot of work in terms of presenting, putting together your business plans, your putting together your pitches to present to investors. So it's very nice to say, oh, $17 million of funding has been received, but there would have been a massive pitch put together, to approach, and they would have approached investors across with a very, very strong pitch, a presentation, data, findings presented in a way where it's both useful from an information point of view, credibility point of view, from an empathy point of view, so that people buy in. So many studies, tests, initially before they launched at a larger scale, they must have done a pilot with one, few cafes or their first cafe, reworking that, getting feedback, going back and, doing it at the initial stages. They may have done, done surveys, taken out, had one-on-one meetings, collected data through questionnaires, etc. And all of this eventually, you know, investors are happy to part with money, but they are going to part with money only after absolutely grilling you and getting to the bottom of your business plan, your commitment, your details. So, you know, in a future chapter where I'm going to be talking about certain credibility aspects which have to be kept in mind, you know, when enterprises and social enterprises are concerned, then keep in mind that from a credibility point of view, investors, because for investors, it's not just money that they're investing with you, they're also investing their reputation with you. So if they are associated with an enterprise which is not very, very thorough or completely above board in terms of all the information that they have, in terms of all the transparency that they can provide, then that is also going to be a big challenge for getting people to buy into your idea. Now there is Persephone, which is an artificial intelligence platform. Again, it is monitoring the carbon footprint. There are so many initiatives which are built around the planet. And again, this is one of those which is trying to help the planet, put the planet before profit. It's based in the US. I have mentioned a lot of the documentaries, a lot of the documentaries by Al Gore, by, you know, by Leonardo DiCaprio, a lot of them creating awareness, inspiring more and more people to get involved in this mission to reduce the carbon footprint. So when we talk about celebrities and celebrities, putting out their documentary or supporting something, while it may very well be, some may look at it skeptically and say, it's their PR venture, it's their commercial venture. But you see, it is also inspiring others. It is also motivating others that, oh, these innovative ideas are possible and, we can initiate these. So, it's not just celebrities, it is common people who are these risk takers, who are undertaking these enterprises which positively impact the planet and who are definitely getting inspired by, through these screenings, through these documentaries, where they see demonstrable, verifiable, tangible impact which can happen, the new breed, when it is showing the whole journey and that something is possible, someone who has a good idea but may be skeptical about, the viability of it may get inspired to actually work on it. Someone who is clueless in terms of how will I eventually get funding or get people to buy in by way of this media, of a medium of screenings and documentaries, may get direction that he would not have otherwise got. So you have a lot happening in the West in terms of creating that public awareness through documentaries. So while you have documentaries at a smaller scale, even in India and, other parts of the world, but as you can see, some of the very successful, well-made documentaries on some of these socially impactful enterprises have been created in the West on a much larger scale. I'm not saying good quality documentaries have not been created in India, but purely in terms of scale of, the release of these documentaries, the award functions that they are going to, the awareness, whether you can see it on YouTube, various, platforms, people find out about them and get to know about them, versus documentaries which are fantastic, which are there, but people are not aware of them. So creating this awareness, because this is a very good way of mass communication, plays its role. It plays a very important role in this journey of social enterprise. Then you have a billion, clearly as the name suggests, a billion, with the global population being, in excess of 8 billion and 1.4 billion being in India itself. A billion is trying to create a global community of people who live sustainably. So it is not sustainability in just any one aspect of their life, but sustainability in all aspects of their life, you know, whether it is from energy point of view, whether it is from consumption point of view, whether it's from healthcare point of view, whether it's from, you know, how they go about making their purchase decisions point of view, a travel point of view. So they are trying to create a global community of people who live, you know, how people eat healthy and how people, there are people who become vegans and people who become, you know, followers of, you know, they eat healthy, they meditate, they are spiritual. So the entire mantra about them is to focus on their detoxification and emotional, physical, mental well-being. Likewise, creating a community of people who are living in this sustainable manner where, you know, you can literally have a global community, which is, you know, planet positive in a way that every, you know, small decision in their daily life from the time they wake up to the time they sleep, personal life, professional life, is being taken in a way which reduces the carbon footprint, which helps the planet. So this startup is based in Singapore, once again endorsing the power of a good innovative idea. Look at the kind of funding that they have received, the rounds of funding that they have had. And these organizations do not need very large number of employees. I mean, if you see, the number of employees is just about, 11 to 50. So here it is not a matter of having a large organization with multiple structures and, so many number of employees and, you know, hierarchy and multiple offices and all of that. A few people, of course, their collabs are important, and having more and more collabs with people in the grassroots area and along the entire chain from idea to delivery to the last point. But barring that, purely in terms of, you know, employees, full-time employees, a few dynamic, passionate people can create a very large social impact and can get your small startups to become, can get small startups to position themselves in a way that make them very, very attractive to stakeholders, to people who want to be patrons to these organizations, who want to contribute to the social good of the people and the planet through their funding investments. So this gives you an idea, and we still have a lot of the discussion left, and in that I will continue to mention innovative ideas domestically in India and globally, which will hopefully help to demonstrate to you the various concepts of social enterprise and how social enterprise can be made possible, scalable, equitable, and inclusive. Thank you.